Welcome to the Songs and Stories of Canada. This program is called The Miners.
Britannia Beach, British Columbia, and we're on a train. We're going down the main tunnel of the Britannia Copper Mine, and Frank Columbus is going to show us around.
We're down about 3,800 level now. 41 level is just up above us. That's the main entrance to the main mine. You see, that goes in 5 miles. Then we used to have shafts go down to 6,200 level, so that's just about a mile down from the beginning of the mining era, eh? Mine underground, and it's way under sea level.
So there's a lot of rock above us.
Yes, indeed. Yes, there's a few tons. Okay, now we're getting into the drilling chamber area here. And this is where we're going to tell you all about the history of the early method of mining here, and of course, the early machines that they used to use and the machines that we're still using in the mining industry today. So if you just hang tough, we'll just carry on here while I'll stop the train. And we'll walk in there nicely and we'll tell you all about it. We'll turn these machines on and we'll demonstrate every one of them for you.
So you spent 36 years in the mines, eh, Frank? You must have got around quite a few places and worked in quite a few mines.
I've worked in Brailorn, Pioneer, and all the Kootenay mines, you know, like up in HB, and of course for Cominco, you know, it's quite a big outfit, and I worked in the Big Dome in Timmins, Ontario, Red Lake, and all them places, you know, in Ontario, and all the way down here in to the coast. I've covered pretty well all the, some of the Northwest Territories, so... I've had a bit of an experience in different method of mining.
I met you in a quartz mine in that good old town of Butte. You certainly look cute, dressed in your mucker's suit. And the shift boss said, "Come on, boys, put that muck into the chute. And I'll show you how to run that big machine. But times have changed since then, old pal. I've been promoted since. The position that I hold today would elevate a prince. For I'm a hard rock miner. I run the water liner down in the dust and the dirt. You can see me any evening when those Kimberley lights are gleaming, wringing sweat out of my shirt. Oh, 2 years in the Flin Flon, and 4 in the Yukon, and 3 in the Coeur d'Alene. But you lost me, partner, when you went to the Cobalt, and I to the South Lorraine. Holy gee, but I'm tired. I wish that I'd get fired. I'd go where that green grass grows. But I know that I'd be pining to get back to mining, wearing those dirty old clothes. Yes, I know that I'd be pining to get back to mining, up where Old Mark Creek flows.
This is the Jackson drill. Matter of fact, it's made in Denver in 1898. One of the, right, just at the turn of the century. One of the first hand drills that was used mainly in coal mines. Because as you well realize, you know, it's not built too heavy or too rugged. And of course, in hard rock mining, it wouldn't be able to help you too much, but it'll sure be a great help in coal mining, or if you're mining in clay, you know, hard rock or bedrock, like. It's got a chisel bit on it, and of course, it's on a spring, you see, and it's got a clip which works like a piston. By turning it, the chisel bit makes a semi-turn, and of course, as you can see, it does the drilling.
That Jackson drill looks pretty small compared to this next machine. There's a pole running from the floor to the ceiling, and slung on it is a kind of a jackhammer, but it's big. It's about 300 pounds. What does that run on, Frank? Does it run on compressed air?
The very earliest ones used to run by steam. But you know, there's one mistake the inventor made here while he invented an automatic machine at that time. He forgot to invent a water hose with it. And this was a tragedy, you see, because while the miners were using it, particularly in gold mines, where there was a lot of quartz at the face, you see, they created so much silica dust that a good many of the miners were working in a continuous cloud of dust. And a lot of the miners, of course, wound up with this dreaded disease called silicosis. And of course, a lot of them died at a very young age because of that, you know, suffering for many years. But later on in the years, of course, the miners named this old-timer the Widowmaker. And believe me, they named it right. Have a look at that machine in operation.
Miners, Taku miners, to the shaft house we must go. With our oil bottles on our shoulders, we are marching to and fro. On the line, boys, on the line, boys, catch the cage and stand in line. Till the shifter comes and tells you, you must drill her off on time.
Loose the swing and jack the bar, come in on the arm, you're out too far, way up to the dump and we call her a hole. A son of a gun that's mining for gold.
Watch that light, boys, watch that light, boys. The mine captain's in the mine. He will come around and ask you, can you drill her off on time?
So the first holes we will drill would be the top holes, we call them. The top holes. And then the breast holes, you see the yellow ones over there. And down here would be the knee holes, we call them. And way down below here, which you can't see hardly any of the pegs, would be the lefters.
So you load your holes, then you fire them, and where are you standing?
When this ground is drilled off and it's already loaded and it's ready to go, you're going to go a long ways out of the mine, or you're going to hide behind something that you're going to be perfectly safe.
But are you listening for the shots?
Oh, definitely. You can hear the shots a long, long ways away.
Drill your holes, boys. Load them gently, like the first hole in the burn. Light your cut holes and your kickers and your knee holes in their turn. Light your breast holes, light your side holes, light your lifters, center line. Light your back holes, let's get going, make the corner, boys, on time.
Loose the swing and jack the bar, come in on the arm, you're out too far, way up to the dump and we call her a hole. A son of a gun that's mining for gold.
There's your shots, boys, count them careful. There's the loud report of the burn. There's your cut holes and your kickers and your knee holes in their turn. There's your breast holes, there's your side holes, there's your back holes, we're in luck. There's your lifters softly going, soft explosions under muck.
Loose the swing and jack the bar, come in on the arm, you're out too far, way up to the dump and we call her a hole. A son of a gun is mining for gold.
Hard rock miners move around a lot. Coal miners don't. Some of the coal mines in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia have been going for about 100 years, and a lot of the families around there have worked down the mines for generations. Alex and Mary McLeod have lived next to the mines in Glace Bay all their lives.
Well, I think if I had to start over, I'd still go to work in the mines. Of course, not everybody likes it. Some people are not happy at all when they're 2 miles underground. They just feel closed in. But that never bothered me. And the weather, too. The weather is not bad down in the mine. There's no rain. There's not too cold, not too warm. unless you go down deeper. The deeper you go, the hotter it gets.
How far down would you be working?
Oh, well, you'd be down 1,000 feet or more. Well, depending on whichever seam you're working. And then maybe 4 or 5 miles out under the sea, too. You see, I'd catch the cage and go down the shaft. And then from there, you have to walk, another mile out to the coal face in the dark. That's where the coal is being mined. Now, the tunnels themselves are nice and big near the shaft. But when you get out into the seam, it narrows down to about 5 feet from the floor to the roof. So you have to switch on your lamp and walk along in the dark. And you're bent over half double, so you won't knock your head on the timbers on the roof. And then, by and by, you'll see the miners. You'll see the lights bobbing around in the distance up ahead. And then you'll arrive at the coal face.
Did you work by yourself?
Oh, no. I work with a partner all the time. Jimmy, he was my partner for a long time. We worked pretty good together. Drilling, blasting, and mucking. Mucking, that's shoveling. Between the two of us, we'd take out 30 ton of coal a day. And that was hard work.
What about gas down in the mine? Didn't you used to worry about explosions with all that gas down there?
Oh, well, sure. You had to be pretty careful. I remember one time, Jimmy and me were working on a long wall with a dozen other guys. We'd each drill and blast out our own section. Well, it come our turn to blast our section. We lit the fuse, and the shot just went pop. And there was a pop like that, and then it rumbled. There must have been gas behind that coal, because the whole wall came down. And at the same time, there was a big blue flame leapt out of the wall, roaring and hissing, just as if you had turned on a blowtorch. Well, I'll tell you, that flame raced right down the wall, burning up the gas. And when it got down to the far end, instead of going out, as you'd think it would have, it turned around and come right back up towards us again. Must have went by about 3 or 4 times before it went out. And right in the middle, right in front of us, where it had started, was a big red patch. Red-hot coal it was, like a red eye glowing in the dark. Well, self and Jimmy got out of there in a hurry, I tell you. And when we got out to the surface, I looked at him, and he looked at me. And you know, neither one of us had a single hair left on our arms or our eyebrows. All been burned off. It was that hot.
When I was a young girl, I loved me a man. Worked in the coal mines down in Glace Bay. We loved each other. None could deny, but he went down and he stayed down one time too long.
I've been lucky that Alex hasn't been killed or even badly hurt in the mines. But you never know for sure that someone won't get hurt. There's always that feeling. Will he come up again? Alex used to put it to me like this. Don't forget, he says, every day I go to work, I'm taking a chance on my life, he says. And don't you forget it. And the wages I bring home, he says, they're at the risk of my life.
In the town of Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, down in the dark of the Cumberland mine, there's blood on the coal and the miners lie in roads that never saw sun nor sky, roads that never saw sun nor sky. In the town of Spring Hill, you don't sleep easy. Often the earth will tremble and roll. When the earth gets restless, miners die. Bone and blood is the price of coal. Bone and blood is the price of coal. Down at the coal face, miners working, rattle of the belt and the cutter's blade, rumble of rock and the walls close round. Living and the dead men 2 miles down, living and the dead men 2 miles down. 12 men lay 2 miles from the pit shaft. 12 men lay in the dark and sang. Long hot days in a miner's tomb. 3 feet high and 100 long. 3 feet high and 100 long. 3 days passed and the lamps gave out. When Caleb Rushton, he up and said, there's no more water, nor light, nor bread. So we'll live on songs and hope instead. Live on songs and hope instead. Listen for the shouts of the barefaced miners. Listen through the rubble for the rescue team. 600 feet of coal and slag. Hope imprisoned in a 3-foot seam. Hope imprisoned in a 3-foot seam. 8 days passed and some were rescued, leaving the dead to lie alone. Through all their lives they dug a grave, 2 miles of earth for a marking stone, 2 miles of earth for a marking stone. In the town of Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, late in the year of 58, day still comes and the sun still shines, but it's dark as the grave in the Cumberland mine, dark as the grave in the Cumberland mine.
This row of lettuce over here looks really good. And looks as though you've got enough zucchini to feed an army.
Well, I've always had a big garden. Especially back during the hard times. Well, you didn't have the money to waste on buying vegetables. You should have seen that garden. Young peas, young carrots, all kinds of summer vegetables. And I grew fruit to can. I made blueberry jam and apple jelly. I think I used to spend from June until about September canning and pickling and working in the garden. That took all my time. We saved money that way, and a good thing, too. What money there was went to the company store for flour and molasses. Staples. Back then, there weren't any supermarkets, and the wages weren't much, so it seems like you were always in debt to the company store. That store took the money right out of your hand and gave you back small change.
Our family, we used to call that the Pluck Me Store. Plucked us clean, they did.
Come dig the coal, ye miner boys, in summer and in fall. For winter time is coming on, when there'll be no work at all. Then heave the coal, ye miner boys, the summer quickly passes. When working days will all be done, but we must have bread and molasses. The Pluck Me Store, the Pluck Me Store, we have to deal at the Pluck Me Store, and only a little cash is left when bills are paid at the Pluck Me Store. Then bank the coal, ye miner boys, for winter winds will blow. As we hurry away to the Pluck Me Store, it's the only club we know. It's the only store on earth, me boys, where loafing is no sin. If you shop or not at the Pluck Me Store, you can just drop in. The Pluck Me Store, the Pluck Me Store, we have to deal at the Pluck Me Store, and only a little cash is left when bills are paid at the Pluck Me Store. We need no daily paper, boys, to start a long debate, for there's plenty of news at the Pluck Me Store, and it's always up to date. We thought we were poorly treated, boys, when no money for work was found. But nary a briny tear was shed when the Pluck Me burned to the ground. The Pluck Me Store, the Pluck Me Store, we have to deal at the Pluck Me Store, and only a little cash is left when bills are paid at the Pluck Me Store.
But a miner today, he's more like a machine operator. At least there's not so much of the heavy pick and shovel workers there used to be. There's one thing that'll be the same, though. That coal dust, you'll still get just as black as you used to with it. Coal dust gets into anything and everything. I remember, the first day I was down in the mine, when I come out and I washed up, I thought I must have washed off a ton of coal dust. Then I looked in the mirror and all I'd done was go from a black to a kind of a greasy grey colour. And then, too, there's always a black line around your eyelid where it won't come off at all. And you can always tell a coal miner by that. And you see that black line around his eyes.
I used to give him a good scrub where he couldn't reach at least once a week just to even things out a bit. But you know, it's not the dirt on the outside I mind so much. It's the dirt on the inside. All that dust that gets into his hair and skin also gets into his lungs. You can't wash dust out of a man's lungs. After 40 years of breathing that stuff, some miners have only got one lung or half a lung left. They can hardly breathe. It's a hard life for the miners.
We get up in the black down the coal town road, and we hike along the track where the coal trains load. And we make the ponies pull till they nearly break their backs, and they'll never see again down the coal town road. We hear the whistle call down the coal town road, and we take our towels and all where the coal trains load. In the cages then we drop till there's nowhere else to fall, and we leave the world behind us down the coal town road. We never see the sun down the coal town road, at a penny for a ton where the coal trains load. When the shift comes up on top, we're so thankful to be done. We head home to sleep and dream about the coal town road. There's miners' little sons down the coal town road, playing with their cowboy guns where the coal trains load. But they'd better make the best of their childhood while it runs. There's a pick and shovel waiting down the coal town road. If there's a God for us down the coal town road, all the miners he can bless where the coal trains load. For we're sweating in the hole, sucking down the devil's dust, just to keep the fires a-blazing down the coal town road.
The Miners was written and produced in Vancouver by John Bartlett, Gary Marcuse, and Rika Rupsat. The actors were Frank Holden and Janet Wright. Singing by John Bartlett and Rika Rupsat, with accompaniment by Bob Webb. Technical production by Michael Dunn at Inboon Studios. A special thanks to Frank Columbus at the BC Museum of Mining, and to Aubrey and Tel Martel of Glace Bay. And thank you for listening.